fancy black truck that I knew belonged to Asa was parked outside my house, and Asa was leaning up against it with his arms crossed over his chest and a grin on his face when I spotted him. Football practice was over, and he was here, looking for me. This was what I wanted. Or this was what I had wanted. Once. But I'd thought about it all while walking for almost 3 hours, and I wasn't sure what I wanted now. Because a good book and being alone sounded rather nice to me.
How far did you walk?
Was his first question when I was close enough to hear him. 7 miles, maybe a little more. His eyebrows shot up.
Damn, I don't think I've walked that much at one time in my life.
I shrugged. There'd been many days in the heat of the summer I'd walked 10 miles. I enjoyed the solitude of walking, me and my thoughts alone again. And I wondered if Nash would ever find joy in that or if he'd always need people around him.
You do that every day?
I shook my head. No, some days I walk 10, some days I walk 5, it's always different. He nodded as if that made sense, but I doubt he understood it at all.
I came by to see if you'd like to go over to Riker's with me. Guys decided to get Nash and force him to hang out tonight. Small party that will probably be moved to the field if too many people show up, but it's a party, so who cares?
He finished with a smile that clearly stated he thought he was funny. I didn't think Nash wanted a party. Had they not all noticed he was suffering today? Did he look like a guy who wanted to be around a bunch of people who didn't understand what he was going through? No. I would be surprised if Riker could even get Nash to his house, unless they picked him up and carried him. Force would be the only way. Nash didn't seem to be in the mood for a party today, I pointed out. Asa shrugged.
Yeah, I know. But Riker is like Nash's brother. They're closer than cousins, always have been. If anyone can get Nash to socialize, it's Riker.
I wasn't convinced of this, but the fat girl inside me who knew what it was like to be alone, who knew what it was like to feel as if you don't fit in, as if no one understands you, that girl nodded her head. Okay, can I get a quick shower? Asa beamed as if I was doing this to be with him. I guess in his eyes this was a date. I hadn't thought of it that way. I'd never been on a date. I didn't want to start tonight. I was going because, whether he realized it or not, Nash Lee was going to need me. I was the only person who understood him, who saw past what they believed he was feeling and got to the core. Maybe he didn't deserve my help because of his laughing at the idea of me in a swimsuit. But then maybe he did. He was nice to me for years when no one else was. I couldn't forget that.
Sure, I can wait, he replied.
My mom is going to want to feed you. If you like baked goods, then you're in luck. She's been on Pinterest this past month trying out every bread, pie, cake, and cookie she can find. We never eat them, so she takes them to work, but she'll love having someone she can feed. Asa seemed excited about that.
I'm starved.
Then you'll love each other, I told him. I led him to the front door, then opened it, and sure enough, the smell of something fattening and sweet met my nose. She's already at it. I think this is how she handles work stress. Asa chuckled.
Seems like a good way to handle stress. Wish this was what my mama did. Instead, she watches a lot of sappy shit on television and drinks too much wine.
Tally, you're home. Come tell me all about your day. I've been waiting for hours. What did you do, walk a marathon? You should have known I would have been here, anxious to hear all about it. I've made enough cinnamon sugar muffins to feed the entire building tomorrow, not just my office.
My mother stopped talking when she stepped around the corner with her pink apron on, and the smile on her face froze. Then grew instantly as she spotted Asa behind me.
Mama, this is Asa Griffith. I'm going to get a shower and go with him to a party at Riker Lee's house. In the meantime, can you feed him? He's starving.
Mom's eyes went wide.
She had expected my day to be much different from the past, but I was sure she hadn't been prepared for this.
Of course. I've got several things to choose from, or you can taste it all, she told him.
I glanced back at him and smiled.
I'll be quick.
He shrugged.
No hurry. That kitchen smells like heaven. Whoa, are those clouds painted on your ceiling?
Yes, they are. Come see the kitchen ceiling. It's even better, my favorite, Mom replied with pride.
They would get along just fine. Mom could feed him and show him her painted ceilings.
Chapter 8. It almost made her sudden hate for me make sense. Almost. Nash. Riker wouldn't let it go. He kept pushing until I gave in and went out with him. I knew going meant we wouldn't be alone. When we passed his house and headed back to the field, I sighed. It was a fucking party. I didn't want to go to a damn field party. Another reminder of the life I no longer had. You know, this is the last thing I want to do, I told him. Yeah, but you sitting on your ass at home sulking isn't healthy. This is. I shook my head and glared out the window of his truck. Just let me deal with this my way. Stop trying to help me face it. You don't know what this is like. Riker didn't respond right away. Maybe not, he finally said. I just hate to see you sit here. I need time. You've had plenty of time. You've had a fucking summer's worth of time. If I didn't love him, I'd throw his ass out of this moving vehicle. When we got to the field, I would just walk the 8 miles home. Better than putting up with this. Besides, it was a Monday night, not a field party night. We didn't party on Monday nights during the school year. This was all about me, them trying to make me act like the Nash I had been. Didn't they get it? He was gone. Cars, trucks, and a few jeeps all filled the parking space among the trees. I recognized most all of them. The ones I didn't had to be new vehicles, those who had gotten their licenses over the summer. I laid my head back on the seat and groaned. I don't want to do this. You need this, to remember it's not over. We are all still here. We all miss you. Football doesn't define you. Angry, my head snapped up and I glared at him. Does it define you? It's all we've ever known. But it wasn't taken from you. If it was gone tomorrow, what then? Riker shrugged. I'd find another path. Move on. I don't love it the way you do, Nash. Never have. It's just football. It's not my life. That was easy for him to say. He wasn't in my shoes. It wasn't out of his reach. Never would be. I slung the door open and climbed out. Staring down the road, I considered doing what I had planned, walking home. But the look on my dad's face, if I did, made me pause. I was sure he knew exactly where I was and supported it. I didn't want to face him any more than I did this damn party. Did you invite the whole fucking school? I snarled. Yeah. Now stop being a dick and come drink a beer. Relax. Enjoy yourself. They were drinking beer on a Monday night before their first game of the season Friday. They needed to practice all week. Stay focused. Get rest. Not drink beer, for God's sake. Did they all think so little of what they had? What they could have? Had I taken it for granted like this? It's one beer, stop acting like coach, Riker replied, reading my thoughts. Without much other choice, I walked beside him through the trees, with only the moonlight guiding our path. We didn't need any light. These woods had been our childhood. We knew them well. As we stepped through the tree line and into the open field where a fire pit was already going, cheers arose. They were acting like I'd won some damn award. I heard my name called out a few times. I didn't even try to respond. That beer was sounding better. After all, I wouldn't be playing football on Friday. I didn't need to prepare. They are here for you, Riker said, as if I needed clarification. I know that, I snapped. Then act like you give a shit. I was tired of him trying to force this on me. He needed me to act the way I always had so he wouldn't have to face reality. We wouldn't be going to college together. We wouldn't be playing ball together again. Those were the hard truths. I'd faced it, and he needed to now. This hanging on to a fantasy was annoying. "I don't," I replied. Then I walked on, away from my cousin, who I knew meant well but was pushing too hard. I needed space.
"Nash!"
a voice called out. I turned to see Asa standing over by the bed of his truck with Rifle Hannon, Hunter Mackley, and Walker McNair, all guys I would have started with this year. Guys I would never get that close to. A team I wouldn't be a part of. I glanced at Hunter one more time to see if Blakely was anywhere near him. I didn't see her, but my eyes locked on one female, one I wasn't in the mood to see as much as I wasn't in the mood for this party. Tallulah. All that blonde hair hanging down around her shoulders, long legs barely covered by the shorts she was wearing, and those eyes. Damn expressive. I hated that I was attracted to her. It wasn't that I disliked her. I'd always liked Tallulah. I just hated that the fact I was suddenly attracted to her in a way I had never been was because she had lost weight. It almost made her sudden hate for me make sense. Almost. She wasn't angry with Asa for being all over her. She forgave him for never noticing her in the past. But me? She was furious with me. It annoyed me, along with everything else in life. "We need to talk," Blakely said, snapping me out of my thoughts and away from Tallulah. I turned to see her standing to my left, barely dressed and stunning, like always. "Now you want to talk?" I asked. She sure hadn't been interested in it this summer. She rolled her eyes.
"Don't go blaming this on me. You changed. You got so dark and angry. I couldn't deal with that. I don't like to be unhappy."
I stood there and listened to her tell me how my suffering had been bad for her vibe. I shouldn't be shocked. I'd been the one to date her knowing she was particularly selfish. I'd known her for years. She wasn't one to be labeled as kind and caring, more like wild and exciting.
"Then what do we have to talk about?" I asked, deciding that walking home wasn't such a bad idea.
"Us. We aren't working."
I laughed then. Did she think I needed to be told this? Either her intelligence was lacking, or she thought my head had been injured along with my leg.
"No kidding."
Her eyes flared, as did her nostrils.
"You don't have to be an ass."
"I'm not. Just find it funny you think I thought there was an us. We haven't talked in weeks. Besides," I nodded my head in Hunter's direction, "you've got a junior to break in." She made a disgusted sound.
"You're a jerk. I shouldn't have even tried to talk to you. There is no point."
I agreed. She shouldn't.
"Then don't."
That was enough to send her stalking off in the pair of heels not meant for the grass. She managed to walk in them anyway. I could follow her and make everyone else in that group uncomfortable, say shit to make them wince, but I didn't feel like wasting my time. I moved toward the beer once again when headlights broke through the trees and caught everyone's attention. Confused, I turned to watch as a shitty car pulled into the clearing. When Coach D stepped out, the entire field went silent. What the hell was he doing here?
Chapter 9. Well, please, by all means, call the police. Tallulah.
"Shit, why is he here?"
Asa muttered, drawing my attention off Nash and toward where everyone else seemed to be looking. My new English literature teacher, Mr. Dace, also known as Coach D. I had that class with a few football players. They had referred to him as such. He didn't look or act like the other football coaches. He was younger, better looking, and had a bit of a nerdy, cool persona. I enjoyed his class today. It had been an introduction to what was to come mostly, but he seemed to love the idea of teaching. The last time I had a coach for a teacher had been driver's ed in 10th grade. This was different. Mr. Dace was the first coach who taught something that required a solid degree in our school. I saw him talking to Riker, who seemed furious that he was here. This was the Lee's land. Their grandfather and fathers knew about the parties. They were allowed. No adult had ever come back here that I knew of, but then again, this was my first party, too.
Why is Coach D here?
Hunter asked, a touch of concern in his tone. It was as if he were about to face a cop with that cup of beer in his underage hand instead of his coach. I wondered if Hunter had ever been in a lot of trouble. It didn't seem like it. But then I didn't know much about Hunter or any of the team. To be honest, I knew very little about anyone at our school.
Shit, there goes Nash,
Asa said, standing up from the tailgate he'd been sitting on.
I better go help.
He glanced at me.
Let's go.
I didn't exactly want to stay here with these people I didn't know, so I did as told. I went with him. Mr. Dace appeared laid back as he listened to Riker talk, but then his eyebrows shot up just as we got close enough to hear them.
You think this is going to win any games, this behavior? I understand this is the norm on a Friday night after a game, but starting this on a Monday when we have a week to prepare and get our minds ready?
Mr. Dace waved his hand at the crowd, now watching the conversation.
What I think is that this is the way we handle things. Coaches have never bothered us here before.
Riker said, his tone still respectful but firm.
He's right,
Nash said loudly, holding up a red plastic cup full of beer. It sloshed over the rim.
If y'all want to win, you don't need to be here kissing my ass, trying to act like my fucking world isn't over. Listen to the man,
he told Riker. Then he turned his eyes toward Mr. Dace.
As for you, get off. This is private property. You weren't invited on it. Now leave. Don't come back.
I halted in my steps. Nash's tone had gone from nice to nasty in a split second. He was glaring at Mr. Dace as if he was the one at fault here, not the field full of underaged teens drinking beer. I wasn't so sure there weren't some things being smoked either. I didn't know what that looked or smelt like, so I wasn't positive.
Might be private property, but if I call the cops, they'll only care about the teens consuming alcohol and the smell of weed in the air.
Riker muttered something, then turned to stand between Mr. Dace and Nash with his back to Mr. Dace.
Just let it go. Last thing we need is the police showing up here.
Nash laughed loudly.
You think they'd actually come? Hell, these parties have been going on since our dads were teens. The cops know, they don't fucking care. They just want the football team to win. More important than some teens drinking a beer.
He leaned to the side and smiled at Mr. Dace.
Wouldn't you agree? No? Well, please, by all means, call the police. Find out how this town works.
Shut up! Riker snarled at Nash. Nash beamed at him. The bright, fake smile that meant nothing.
Why? You wanted me to get out and have fun. This is fun. Best time I've had all summer. Seeing him call the cops would be even more entertaining.
Nash's voice was loud now. I knew everyone could hear him. I took a glance around and saw people leaving, some quickly, others trying to do so quietly. Hunter Mackley was gone. I guess the quarterback didn't want to get mixed up with this.
You're scaring them away. Damn. Guess we all need to go home now,
Nash said, looking anything but disappointed.
He's had more than his share of beer. Who's sober enough to drive him home?
Mr. Dace asked.
They've all been drinking, Nash said with a laugh. This is my first cup, and I've had one sip. I'm the safest driver here at the moment.
Mr. Dace frowned as if he wasn't so sure about that. But I'd seen Nash arrive. He hadn't looked happy to be here, and he hadn't even had that cup of beer when Mr. Dace drove up. He grabbed it up just before I realized Mr. Dace was here, as if he wanted to appear like he was enjoying himself. He's not lying, I heard myself say. He got here just before you did. All eyes turned to me. Mr. Dace frowned. Then recognition came into his gaze, then surprise. He hadn't expected to see me here. He didn't know me. We'd only met today, but I guess I still didn't look like a girl who would be at a field party. Weight loss couldn't change it all for you. Inside, you were the same.
Talia?
Mr. Dace asked.
Tallulah. Tallulah. Jesus, what is with teachers and her fucking name? It is not that hard to pronounce.
Nash corrected him, clearly annoyed. It reminded me of a time when I thought he was my hero. I had worshipped him from afar, clung to any smile or word he threw my way.
I'm sorry, I just had Tallulah in my class this morning. I haven't memorized names yet.
He didn't look at Nash as he said it. He looked at me. It's okay, I assured him.
So, you're still nice to him? You just went all bitch on me?
Nash asked. I ignored that.
Jesus, Nash,
Asa said, sounding frustrated. Nash just laughed. There was no joy in his laugh, but there was pain. Didn't they all hear that? See it for what it was?
We have workouts at 7 in the morning. I want all of you at the field house at 6, if you want to play Friday. Tallulah, I'll give you a ride home. Nash, you drive the others home. No one that has been drinking needs to drive. Tallulah came with me,
Asa said before I could react.
And have you been drinking?
Asa sighed, then nodded.
Then I am taking her home. The rest seemed to have cleared out.
He looked around to see very few people standing around.
The party is over,
he called out, then turned his attention back to Riker.
You want to play? You'll make sure they all get home safely.
When he turned his head, his eyes met mine.
Let's go.
I didn't wait to argue. He was the adult, after all. I glanced at Asa. Bye, was all I knew to say.
See you tomorrow,
he replied. Not being able to help myself, my eyes went to Nash. He smirked, then shook his head.
That's bullshit.
I didn't know what he meant, and I didn't wait to find out. I followed Mr. Dace to his car. This night had turned out nothing like I had expected. In my head, I had built up this world they lived in, but the reality was much different. My life alone with my books was more appealing now I knew what this looked like.
Chapter 10. You're all fucking shallow. Nash. You just gonna let him take her? I asked Asa while watching Tallulah walk off with Coach fucking D. I'd seen the way he'd looked at her. I was sure most men looked at her that way, but that asshole was a teacher at her school, and she was 17 years old. Asa shrugged. What else can I do? He's right. I've had a few beers. Can't have him calling my dad or her mom. Weak. That excuse was weak. He was worried about the game, getting to play, not the fact Tallulah had gone off with a man 10 years older than her. Hell, was I the only one who saw the man checking out her legs? It was pretty obvious. He isn't that stupid. He won't compromise the game, I replied, disgusted. This entire night shouldn't have happened. Besides, why did you bring her here? To a field party? She doesn't hang with this crowd. Asa was the one who now looked annoyed. Don't be an ass, she lost weight. And he thought I was being an ass. Wasn't talking about her weight, I was referring to her brain. She's studious, doesn't party, reads a lot, this isn't her scene. You don't know her scene. She was quiet and studious because she didn't have friends. She's a different person now. She's incredibly hot, fun to talk to, nice. This conversation was annoying me with every word out of his mouth. I needed to drop it, but I didn't. She's the same person. She was always all those things. She just looks different now. You're all fucking shallow. Even as I said the words, I felt a twinge of guilt. Just because I had spoken to her in the past didn't mean I had found her attractive. I hadn't been knocking at her door either.
but at least I wasn't using her sudden outward appearance as the reason she is fun to talk to.
How do you know? Until she showed up today, none of us knew her. I never saw you hanging around her before.
I wouldn't be thrown in the same disgusting clump as them. I had been nice to her.
First grade. She sat 3 seats in front of me, was nervous and shy. The teacher never pronounced her name correctly, and after a few times of correcting her and getting ignored, Tallulah stopped saying anything. I spoke up. Miss Barker got it right from then on. Third grade, she finished last in the 1 mile run we did during PE. She was walking and breathing hard. None of you paid attention to the others laughing at her, making jokes. I went over and told her she did great. I gave her my bottle of water since all of them were gone. Fourth grade, she fell and spilled her tray of food all over the cafeteria floor. While everyone laughed and said things like it was good she would miss a meal, I helped her up. Walked her to the bathroom so she could clean the red jello off her shorts. Then gave her my tray of food. 11th grade, I made a joke about her in a swimsuit and you laughed. You laughed and never thought anything about it. Stop being so damn high and mighty. We are all the same. The girl was fat. We didn't notice her. She's thin now, and we are all looking.
Riker's interruption was like a slap in the face. I let my memory go back. To that day. To the last day of school last year. It was 1 week before I decided to play football in Riker's backyard with a bunch of friends and family members at the Memorial Day barbecue we had each year. The backyard game that would ruin everything for me. I didn't think about that. I thought about the week before. I saw Tallulah leaving school, her arms full and a look of relief on her face. She was glad the year was over, just like us. I spoke to her. It had never been a good deed thing or a pity thing. I just liked her smile. Her eyes were so damn blue, and her smile was always real. It was also rare. But I could make her smile, and I liked it. I wanted to do it. Made me smile in return. That day, though, after seeing her smile, my mind was right back on the date I had with Blakely that night. And the sex I would be getting. I hadn't thought much more about Tallulah. Then Riker... I paused and looked at him now. Studied his face. Let his words replay in my head. He'd made a joke about Tallulah in a bathing suit. No one needing to see that or something to that effect. I wasn't paying attention to him. My head was elsewhere. But I laughed. Riker laughed. And I joined him. Turning my head toward the line of trees Tallulah had long since walked through, it was like a brick wall had just slammed into my chest. She had heard him. Us. He hadn't said it quietly. She had heard it. She had heard me laugh. My shoulders dropped, and I closed my eyes tightly. A pain squeezed my chest. Damn. I understood now. Her anger today. The words she almost said and didn't. She had heard Riker make a joke at her expense. But I knew it wasn't the first time she'd heard a joke about her weight. We hadn't been the first people to laugh at her. So why was she so angry? Not at Riker, but at me. Because I had been nice to her in the past? That didn't seem fair. I should have been forgiven. I had good karma in my pocket to make up for the one mistake, the one stupid mistake I wish I could take back. It was done now, and I owed her an apology. Let's go, Riker said then, breaking the silence. I didn't mean to laugh, I told him, even though it made no difference to him either way. He looked confused. What? This conversation was pointless. Nothing. I'll go put out the fire. Y'all get the garbage. You know we can't leave the field like this. Not if we expect to keep using it. Our grandfather would have both our asses if we did. Riker nodded and went to start cleaning. He barked at the others still standing around to help. I focused on making sure the blaze was out. I didn't like that Coach D had taken Tallulah home. Something was off there. It didn't seem as if he were doing it in a helpful way, not when he was checking out her body. She was too damn naive to even notice. I doubted she'd ever been kissed. There was no way Asa had already made it that far with her. She may look different, but she was the same inside. Angry at me, sure, but now I knew why. I could fix that. I wanted to fix it. This was the first thing I wanted to do since I had gotten hurt. Tallulah had a great smile. It made bad things seem less important, like she saw a rainbow around the corner. Her eyes didn't twinkle with flirty intentions. She didn't even know how to do that. It was refreshing. I had enjoyed that about her. I missed it. I was going to make sure I got that smile again. I was done losing shit. I'd lost enough already.
Chapter 11. Asa Griffith doesn't seem like your type. Tallulah. We got into Mr. Dace's car without speaking. I wasn't sure yet what to expect, if he was planning on telling my mother about the party or not. I didn't think it sounded very fair, considering I hadn't drunk anything, and I hadn't gotten in the car with a driver who had been drinking. Mom knew I was with Asa at Riker's get-together to cheer Nash up. That had been a massive fail. Nash had not been cheery at all. He looked miserable. And none of his friends seemed to understand why. That had to be frustrating him.
"Which way do I turn?"
Mr. Dace asked. "Left," I replied. He turned his small car left and then glanced over at me again.
"Asa Griffith doesn't seem like your type."
I'd just met the man. He had me for one class today. I frowned. "Why is that?" I asked, trying not to be snarky. I didn't want to make him an enemy and give him a reason to go talk to my mom. He shrugged, turning his focus back to the road.
"You seem more serious, mature, interested in your grades. Asa is a beast on the football field, but he's also not serious about anything else."
I had no reason not to be honest. "You're new. You don't know who I was or what I looked like before the summer. I've lost weight, a lot of weight. I didn't have many friends or any friends before. My social life is new for me. I'm adjusting to it all."
"How did you lose weight?"
he asked. That wasn't something the others had asked. They hadn't cared. They'd just liked the results. "I walked daily, drank water, and ate healthy." I almost added that I did that all because I was angry, hurt, and bent on revenge, but I didn't.
"That's impressive, but you're right. I wasn't here last year. I didn't know you. What I saw was today, and the girl I noticed wasn't one to spend her Monday night at a party with drunk football players."
This was not his business. I didn't need life counseling from my English literature teacher. "I take my grades seriously. I enjoy reading, but I can also have a social life." He nodded.
"Yes, you can, but you're just more mature, or I assumed you were, than what I just witnessed back there. Those guys have years before they grow up."
I'd never had a father. No man in my life to give me advice. Maybe this was normal. Older men liked to tell you what to expect from younger guys. I wasn't sure, so I tried not to get annoyed.
"What's your favorite book?"
he asked. "I don't have one favorite. I've got a bookshelf of favorites, though, and I doubt you've read any of them." He smiled then, the corners of his mouth lifting as I glanced over at him. We came to the intersection that, if you followed straight ahead, would take you to the high school. "Turn right," I told him.
"I read too,"
he replied. I didn't doubt that. He seemed the reading type. "I'm sure you do, but I know you don't read the books that are my favorites."
"And why's that?"
Leaning back, I finally relaxed since getting in this car. He was being much more pleasant now. "Twilight, Harry Potter, all 7 books, Beautiful Creatures, Hunger Games, City of Bones, Matched, The Selection, Before I Fall." I paused, grinning now. "Read any of those, Mr. Dace?" He shot me a quick look, and his eyes were extra nice when he was smiling. I'd noticed that today in class. But in the moonlight, they were almost breathtaking, as was his smile. It was different. My stomach felt a little nervous.
I've heard of several of them, since many were made into movies, but keep in mind I've taught high school before. Those happen to be popular among many high school readers, and I did read The Hunger Games.
Out of all the books I mentioned, I wasn't surprised to hear that he'd read that series. But not Twilight, I teased. He chuckled and shook his head.
No, that one didn't grab my interest.
I can't imagine why, I drawled. Then I pointed up ahead. The blue mailbox with the clouds painted on it, they glow in the dark. I hated even having to explain that. I loved my mother, but she was whimsical, silly, and she loved things that glowed in the dark.
I see that. Makes it easy to spot.
He seemed amused. Yes, I guess so. He slowed before it was necessary, and although I was sure he was just being careful, I realized I wanted to believe it was because he was enjoying my company as much as I was his.
Do I need to come inside and explain my bringing you home to your parents?
He asked. No, I replied quickly.
They won't see my car and wonder who I am?
I knew my mom would be awake in the living room watching the news, but she wouldn't look outside. It's just me and my mom. She trusts me. She has no reason not to. She knew where I was. I'll explain what happened and that you gave me a ride if she questions it, but she won't. He looked surprised.
Very laid-back mother.
I gave a nod of agreement. Yes, who paints things to make them glow in the dark, bakes sweets that we don't eat, and decorates for Christmas the day after Halloween.
Sounds like life with her is never dull.
Not one moment. And I never could understand why the man who had supplied the sperm to make me hadn't stuck around. My mom was fun. She brought smiles and happiness just by being her. Why wouldn't a man want to be near that? He must have been a mean bastard. That's all I could figure.
Where's your dad?
Mr. Dace asked. Don't have one of those, I replied flippantly, then reached for the door handle as the car came to a stop in my driveway.
I'm sorry.
He sounded like everyone did when I told them I didn't have a father. Sad, concerned, like they wished they hadn't asked. Don't be. My life is good just like it is. I looked back at him before I got out of his car. Thanks for the ride. He studied me a moment.
You're welcome,
he replied. See you in class, I added, then stepped out of the car.
I look forward to it.
That comment made me pause. Just for a second. I closed the door behind me and walked to my front porch. His last five words teasing me, like they meant something that I knew they didn't. But why had he said that? Why that way? As I reached my front door, I glanced back to see him pull out of my drive. That was very unexpected. All of it.
Chapter 12. This was the smile I missed seeing. Nash. Starting my day with my dad yelling at me to get my ass to school always made things feel brighter. Annoyed, I waited outside the school again, glad that the others had already gone inside. I wasn't in the mood to recap last night. Riker had been furious with Coach D when I dropped him off at home. That wasn't going to have made for a pleasant workout this morning in the field house. They'd all have been tired from their early morning and pissed because they had to be there. I hadn't climbed out of my vehicle yet when I saw a white Honda Civic pull up and park a few spots down. That was Tallulah's car and her parking spot. She'd been assigned it last year when she got her car. I suddenly had an interest in getting out and going inside. By the time she was hurrying for the door, I had gotten close enough to catch up to her, although I couldn't walk fast. I was closer to the entrance. "You're late," I said, just to get her attention. She paused and turned to me. She'd been in such a hurry she hadn't noticed me until then. "Yeah, and so are you," she replied. "I've got a limp. Slows me down," I lied. I had simply not wanted to get out of bed this morning. Not that I have to explain myself to you, but my mother forgot about a cake she'd put in the oven. It caught on fire, and we had to put it out and get the smoke out of the house. Okay, her reason was more interesting. Seriously? I asked. Tallulah rolled her eyes. I wouldn't make that up. Her dislike for me was getting to me, but that response made me laugh. It felt good to laugh. Sounds like a fun morning. She smirked as if she wanted to smile, but wasn't going to. Not for me, at least. I smell like a fire, not exactly thrilling. She may have smelled like smoke, but she looked amazing. No makeup, her hair pulled up in a messy knot on her head, and she still stood out. Hard to miss. Might keep the guys back so you can breathe today, I told her, knowing that wouldn't be the case. I guess I should consider that my silver lining, she snapped, annoyed. She was enjoying this. She didn't want to enjoy it. That much was obvious. I didn't want her to hate me, but damn if it wasn't fun to hear her smart-ass comments. She was confident now, more sure of herself. The change in her was appealing. She had once tried to hide from the world, blend in and hope no one noticed her. Now she held her head high and didn't back down. It was hard to walk away from, and I didn't want her to dislike me. Knowing I'd hurt her bothered me. As much fun as it was to see her roll her eyes at me and give me that annoyed smirk, I had to fix what I'd done, or at least do the decent thing and apologize. She deserved that. I'm sorry. Even as I said it, I knew that words were weak, considering my actions. Her confident smirk faded, and a confused frown took its place. She wasn't sure why I was apologizing, but I could see her mind working through it. I had to do better than just say I was sorry. She deserved more. An explanation. Last night I was reminded of something. Something I'm not proud of. Something I regret. Understanding dawned in her gaze. She knew exactly what I had done. It was why she'd been so angry with me. It had hurt her. My chest squeezed tighter, wishing I hadn't been so flippant, so careless. That moment I hadn't remembered had stuck with her. I wasn't really listening to Riker that day. My head was elsewhere. I didn't think about it. I just reacted to his laughter with my own. It was thoughtless, cruel, and selfish. I should have said something to him, not just laughed. I was wrong, and I am sorry. I'm sorry for laughing. I'm sorry for not even remembering it happened, for being so damn wrapped up in my little world that I was blind to the others around me, how I was affecting them. I stopped, saw her eyes soften. How I was affecting you. I hurt you. I'll regret it forever. Please forgive me. She didn't say anything right away. Instead, she turned her head to stare off in another direction. I didn't push or say more. I let her process what I'd said, decide if it was enough, if I was worth the forgiveness. When she finally turned her head back to me, she gave me a small smile. Not the bright kind that I realized I'd once looked forward to, but one that was sincere in its own way. You remember now, huh? Took you some time. Her words were laced with pain. I was an asshole. So was Riker, I told her, wishing I could do more than just apologize. I'd never hated anyone before then. You were my first taste at hating someone. That hate drove me to walk every day. When I would have rather eaten a big piece of cake and read a book instead, I got up and walked because of you. I'd always depended on you to stand up for me, speak to me, notice me. I'd put you on some pedestal as perfect, heroic. Truth was, you were just a nice guy, nothing more. You reacted the way the others always did, and it was crushing. But it changed me. I had the drive to lose the weight, get healthier.
I enjoy exercise now, and if you hadn't laughed, I'd still be that girl. I've spent months bitter, angry, bent on revenge, but now I don't feel any of that. Seeing you and realizing I let your actions have so much power over me was my fault. I shouldn't have given you that power. Thanks for the apology, but it's irrelevant now, and a little late. There was no softness, no forgiveness in her voice. Knowing my laughter had affected her like that made me feel even worse. Is that what you were talking about yesterday? Why you started walking? A simple nod of her head confirmed what I'd already figured out. I wish your hurt because of my actions hadn't been why you did it. She lifted a corner of her mouth, as if that amused her. Hate, Nash. It was hate. Although she wanted me to believe she no longer cared, that she had moved on and forgotten it, the tone of her voice told me otherwise. She may not have hated me anymore, but she didn't like me, and I wanted to fix that. Not just to ease my guilt, but because I wanted to get to know the girl she'd become. The late bell rang, and we heard it echo outside. "Now we're really late," she said, trying not to look worried. I shrugged. Not a big deal. We won't miss much. Maybe, but I'm never late. Never hurts to try something new, I replied. Tallulah shot me an annoyed glare. Yeah, well, that road isn't one I plan on going down. I'll try new things that don't affect my grades and college acceptance letters. Jesus, she was serious. And it was sexy as hell. Lighten up, girl. It's just one tardy. Tallulah rolled her eyes at me yet again and hurried on toward the entrance. I watched her go, enjoying the view in those shorts she was wearing. I followed behind her, slower simply because I couldn't move that fast anymore. The office would only let me be late so many times before they stopped being understanding. She was fast because when I got to the office, Tallulah was already gone. Mrs. Murphy was too busy getting everyone checked in to have a tardy slip prepared for me already. There were three other people in front of me. That was odd. No one else was outside. They had to have been here before she got in here. How had she gotten her tardy slip and already gone to class? I glanced around to see if she was anywhere, but nothing. When it was my turn to sign in, I noticed her name wasn't on the tardy sheet. Tallulah Liddell just came in. Did she not check in? I asked Mrs. Murphy. She slid my slip across the counter to me. She did come in, but Mr. Dace was in the hallway and said he had her excuse. She'd been helping him with something. Now don't make this tardy thing a habit, Nash. Then she turned to the student behind me. Coach D again. I didn't trust that man.
Chapter 13. The teacher will be looking for you. Tallulah. I wasn't a good liar. I didn't like to lie. This felt like a lie. Mr. Dace saving me from getting my first tardy ever. I was late, just like the others in the office waiting to get a tardy slip, but I had gone with him. The other option would have been to call my teacher a liar in front of everyone and refuse. It had caught me by surprise, and thinking fast wasn't my strong suit. I needed time to weigh my options and make a decision. Asa found me after third period. He was all flirty smiles and confidence.
Last night didn't end the way I wanted it to,
he said, grinning at me. I wasn't sure it had ended the way I wanted it to either. I was very conflicted about that. I liked Mr. Dace. He was nice, smart, and handsome. And that last one was the issue. He was handsome, distractingly, so it wasn't a good idea for me to develop a crush on my teacher, and I was afraid that was a possibility. It was definitely an interesting end to the evening, I replied, not knowing what else to say.
Coach D is young and doesn't know how we do things around here.
He was doing his job. I defended him before I had time to think about it. Asa shrugged.
I guess. You going to the game Friday night?
He changed the subject that easily. The truth was, I had never been to a football game. I knew I should go. This was my senior year. I wanted to experience high school, all that I had missed out on by being a recluse. I wanted no regrets when I looked back. Yes, I told him, although I wasn't sure with who.
After the game, meet me on the field. We'll go to the field party together. There should be no interruptions on a Friday night,
he said with a roll of his eyes as if Mr. Dace was ridiculous. I don't know. I was cut off from having to turn down his offer.
Not tardy, huh?
Nash's voice came from behind me. I paused and the guilt of my morning lie was back. Only Nash would know the truth. I had been with him when the late bell rang. Taking a deep breath, I turned to meet his gaze. That wasn't my idea. He surprised me. I didn't know what to say. Nash smirked.
You say nothing. Be glad you didn't have to wait in that line.
He'd waited in line. I didn't want to care about that. I wanted to be tough and jaded where he was concerned. But it wasn't fair that I didn't have to get marked as tardy. I should have said something to Mr. Dace. I should have, though. It's not honest, I admitted.
What's not honest?
Asa asked, reminding me he was there. Nash glanced over my shoulder toward Asa.
Nothing. I'm just giving Miss Goody Goody here a hard time.
He wasn't telling Asa about it. Not that I'd done something terribly wrong. I was making more out of this than there really was.
Were you late?
Asa asked me. I opened my mouth to speak, but Nash beat me to it.
No, she got in before the bell. I'm slow. I didn't make it.
Hearing him lie for me made this worse. It was a hectic morning, I explained.
Burning stoves can stress one out,
Nash agreed.
Whose stove was burning?
Asa asked. I glanced back at Asa. My mother forgot about a cake in the oven. It caught on fire. Asa's eyebrows shot up.
Damn.
I've got to get to English Lit, I told both of them. I didn't want to be late to Mr. Dace's class or any class ever again.
Better get to that one. The teacher will be looking for you, Nash drawled.
His tone made me feel uncomfortable, like I needed to defend myself. My cheeks felt warm, and that just made me angry. Bye, I muttered at both of them without looking in either direction, then hurried away into the crowded hallway. Was it obvious that I had a bit of a crush on Mr. Dace? Is that what Nash was saying? I hadn't said or done anything to warrant that. He was attractive and young. I would guess most of the girls had a crush on him. It wasn't like I was going to start writing him love letters and leaving them on his desk. I reached his classroom door 5 minutes before the bell. I hadn't even been close to being late. There was no one inside yet. No one but Mr. Dace. Now I looked stalkerish. Frowning, I blamed this on Nash. He'd made me concerned about something stupid. I was always early for my classes. I didn't socialize in the hallways. My being at literature early was normal for me. Expected.
Tallulah,
Mr. Day said, smiling as I walked into his room and his eyes met mine. He appeared pleased I was on time. Not creeped out. I was going to ignore Nash's comment and relax. I liked this class. Mr. Dace was a good teacher. At least, based on the one class I had with him yesterday, he was good.
How's your morning been?
He asked, putting down the book in his hands and giving me his complete attention. Good. And yours? The corner of his mouth lifted.
It's getting better.
The way he said it made me pause. It was almost... No, I was being silly. Mr. Dace did not mean it the way I took it. Oh, well, that's good, I replied, realizing I had just said good in my last response. I was nervous with him. I couldn't relax. Hello, Mr. Dace, Bianca Valley said as she entered the room, her shirt tight and her cleavage about to spill out of the top. She tossed her long black hair over her shoulder and batted her lashes at him. This was what I did not want to appear like to him.
Good morning,
he replied with a smile that wasn't at all flirty. He then turned his gaze back to me. Most males didn't look away from Bianca's shirts. Her chest size was impressive. I had to give it to him. He was a classy guy. I've got a book I think you'll enjoy. It's not your norm, but I found it last night on my shelf, and I believe it's one that will keep your interest. Oh, okay, I replied, trying not to look shocked that he had thought about me enough to pick out a book. I've been wondering, Bianca said as she perched herself on the edge of his desk. How old are you exactly? You don't look much older than me. She leaned toward him and I dropped my gaze to my notebook on my desk. That's not relevant to this class. His chair moved and I lifted my eyes to see him stand up and put distance between them. Sitting on my desk is also considered inappropriate. There are plenty of desks available in the room. He turned his back to her then and started preparing for the others to arrive. I watched him a moment, surprised by how he had dealt with Bianca. Most male teachers forgot that anyone else was in the room when she chose to flirt with them. Mr. Dace was different.
Chapter 14. Score 1 for me. Nash. I was waiting on her. Tallulah. I was outside waiting on her. I just needed to admit that to myself and deal with it. The past 2 days, she'd been hard to catch in the halls. I'd barely seen her. She hadn't been on Ace's arm like he wanted, and during lunch, she was nowhere to be found. I tried not to make it obvious I was looking for her. Asa was less obvious. He'd asked around and would openly watch for her everywhere. The only glimpse I'd seen of her today was when she'd walked out of the library and gone in the opposite direction of me. Her avoiding me, I didn't like. I could deal with her smart mouth and anger as long as I got to see her and talk to her. It was Friday, and tonight was the first game. I didn't want to be there, but the guys all expected me to be. Standing on the sidelines while I watched them all live my senior dream wasn't exactly going to be easy. I had battled with it all damn day. Riker fully believed I would be there on the field with him. He didn't question it. My dad assumed I'd be there supporting the team and all that shit. I'd played ball with these guys since I was in elementary school. We had started this thing together, and I was expected to end it together. But I wouldn't be playing. None of them seemed to care about that, though. They didn't get how hard that was going to be. Tallulah appeared in the front doors of the building. The breeze caught her long blonde hair, and it reminded me of a commercial. One of those shampoo commercials where the girls are hot and their hair is perfect. Her head turned, and her eyes didn't seem to dwell on anything or anyone in particular. It was as if she were out here all alone, not noticing her surroundings. The attention she was getting from guys and girls, for that matter. She was hard not to look at. One would assume that she was enjoying the attention, soaking it in and letting everyone bask in her beauty, ignoring them all while walking through the parking lot, knowing all eyes were on her. But that wasn't the case. This was Tallulah. I saw it for what it really was. She still carried herself and acted like she had for the past 11 years. She didn't want to draw attention. She was afraid of being made fun of. This was how she had gone around unnoticed, ignored. Problem was, no one was ignoring her now. They were unable to look away. I had always noticed her. Sure, she had always had a pretty face, but that hadn't been why. I liked her smile, the way she didn't try to get attention, how smart she was. I liked hearing her laugh. She was genuine. It was rare. I was standing near her car and waited until she got closer before walking over to stand beside it. Her gaze found me. She paused a second, then continued toward me. I didn't get a smile, which was a shame. I really liked her smile. A whole damn lot. Instead, I got an irritated scowl. She stopped as she reached me. Why are you at my car? You've been hard to find, I told her. She did a small shrug of her shoulders. Trying to keep up with the advanced classes,
The library is my friend. You aren't. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to go.
I wondered if she'd been spending any extra time with Coach D, but I didn't ask. I knew her well enough to know